The question of John the Baptist and the answer of Jesus, chapter 28. A man is sitting in a gloomy jail, which is probably located in a strong castle close to the Dead Sea. Who is he? Is he a thief or a murderer? Why, no. This man is John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. What? Is John the Baptist in prison? Why? What did he do? Listen. As we have told you, John preached and baptized by Jordan as he directed the people to the king who would come. He was spoken about throughout the entire country. Many spoke with respect and high esteem about John. Others ridiculed him. Herod the king also heard that a prophet had appeared who was preaching at Jordan. He becomes inquisitive. He also would like to hear him. He will not go to John. No, John must come to him. And John goes. Herod was a son of Herod the Great, who shortly after the birth of the Lord Jesus cruelly murdered all the children of Bethlehem who were under 2 years of age. This Herod died long ago. At this time, his son reigns over Galilee. He too is called Herod. This Herod also was a wicked monarch. He did not trouble himself in the least about the laws of God. Do you know what he did? He was married, but because he did not love his wife, he simply drove her away. This Herod had a brother named Philip. Philip was married too. The wife of Philip was Herodias. And now Herod stole the wife of his brother. So Herod sent away his own wife and married Herodias, his sister-in-law. This was not permitted. It was a great sin. I had to tell you this first in order to help you understand the following. Now John the Baptist had to come to the ungodly court of wicked Herod. See the faithful preacher entering the royal palace. Herod sits upon the throne in one of the palace's many chambers. Herodias sits next to him. His courtiers stand behind him. Everyone is extremely anxious to hear what John will say. Will John the Baptist, who always has reprimanded the people because of their sins, be silent to the king? Or will he speak? If he does, it may cost him his life. Herod is also reprimanded because of his many sins. You may not have Herodias as your wife, John says sternly. She is the wife of your brother, Philip. You must send Herodias back to her own husband. She belongs there and not here. Momentarily, it has become very quiet. Everyone holds his breath. What answer will the king give to this accusation? Herod frightens when he hears this reproof. The color rises in his face. Herodias also frightens, but her heart is filled with rage. She casts furious glances at John the Baptist. Her fists clench. Herodias does not want to return to her first husband, to Philip. No, she wants to remain with Herod. She urges Herod to kill John. The king shakes his head. No, he will not do that. He doesn't dare, for he fears the people. They all believe John is a prophet. What would the Jews say if he killed John? Probably rebellion would break out. He must be careful. No, he doesn't dare kill John. However, he wishes to please Herodias. Therefore, he imprisons John. At his command, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus is locked up in a gloomy prison. John sits there for weeks, innocently locked up in this musty cell. Still, John has many friends who do not forsake their master, but who visit him regularly and tell him everything that is going on. They also tell him about the many miracles which are being performed by the Lord Jesus. Yes, one day John hears that Jesus raised a young man of Nain from the dead. After his friends leave him, John thinks about what he has heard. It is so different from what he had expected. He thought this king would act very sternly against this sinful Jewish people, in the same manner as he did. He had expected Jesus to reign as king. But that does not happen. The Lord Jesus preaches and goes about throughout the land doing good. Hundreds are cured by him. Great miracles and signs are performed by him. This is all true, but he does not reign as king. At least, he isn't reigning as John thought he would. John does not notice that Jesus reigns as king over sickness and disease, over death and destruction. Yes, even the devils are subjected to him. Doubt comes into the heart of John. Could Jesus really be the promised king? He is uncertain. Do you know what? He will find out from him personally. So the next time his friends come to visit him, he sends them to Jesus with this question: Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? He wants to know for sure. Both of these friends go to Jesus while John remains behind, waiting for their return and anxious to hear the answer which they shall bring. See Jesus in one of the cities or villages of Galilee, surrounded by a great multitude who are listening to him. Suddenly, two men push to the fore, stand before the Lord Jesus and ask, Our master, John the Baptist, asks of thee, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? However, the Lord Jesus does not answer them immediately. Many are coming to him at this hour, sick and crippled ones, blind ones, and those possessed by the devil. All are restored by him. None are sent away without being cured. Afterward, the Lord Jesus turns to the two disciples of John who are still waiting for an answer and says, Now you must go to your master and tell him what you have seen. Tell him, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. My, why doesn't the Lord Jesus say plainly, Yes, I am the Messiah? Why must the disciples of John bring that message to their master? The Lord Jesus does this so John can believe from these words and from his deeds that Jesus is really the Messiah, because all this was prophesied by the prophets. Those words are now being fulfilled literally. John need no longer doubt, for Jesus must be the long-expected king, otherwise all this would never take place. Ah, the Savior knows what is going on in the heart of his faithful forerunner, who is groaning in the prison. He will take out of his servant's heart the frightening doubt, and that is why he points out to him the heavenly kingdom. It may be John clings too much to the thought of an earthly kingdom of pomp and magnificence. It is as if in this wonderful message the Lord Jesus had said, "No, John, do not expect an earthly kingdom. I am king over a better, over a heavenly kingdom, and by my deeds and by my words, that heavenly kingdom is built." The two friends of John leave. They will bring these words to their master, see them go, and they soon disappear out of sight. Was it understood by their master? The Bible is silent about it. But John did not send other messengers. You surely can believe the doubt was removed from the heart of the captive preacher. By faith, he momentarily saw the blessedness of that kingdom, the kingdom in which a place also was prepared for him and by the blood of that great, that eternal king. Have you ever seen the blessedness of that kingdom? The people who stood around the Lord saw and heard all this. Probably some of them thought, "Is John going to doubt now? Does he no longer believe Jesus is the Messiah? Didn't John himself cry, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world'?" Always in his preaching he pointed out to them Jesus. Oh, probably some of the people shrugged their shoulders. But that is not allowed. When the disciples of the forerunner have departed, Jesus begins to talk about John. He begins to tell the people who John really is. Jesus says, "John is not a person who is changing every moment, like a reed which is bent back and forth by the wind. Neither is John a man who looked for riches and luxury, and who walked around in nice clothing. No, truly John is a prophet, a great prophet, yes, even the greatest prophet who ever lived. He is the forerunner who would come." Do you see, boys and girls, how the Lord Jesus defends John the Baptist? Jesus honors him. Some among the multitude nod and agree with the Lord Jesus, for we read, "They justified God." Yes, John was a great prophet. Others laughed despisingly and shook their heads. They did not believe the words of the Lord Jesus. Then the Lord Jesus says with sadness in his voice, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not wept.'" Now, what does the Lord Jesus mean by this? Listen attentively. Children like to play, don't they? If a troop of soldiers march through the streets, the children also will play soldier. Children like to imitate what the older people do. You do it. And the Jewish children in the days of the Lord Jesus also did the same. At times, a wedding would be celebrated in the land of the Jews. Then the pipe was played and the guests would dance. At other times, when someone was being buried, songs of lamentation were sung. The people would weep when they went to the grave. The Jewish children imitated those things. In our thoughts, we see a little group of children gathered together in an open place, in a marketplace. They're going to play. What must they play? Let us play we are at a wedding, some of the children cry out. That will be nice. Ah, no, others object. We don't like that. We know of a better game. Let us play going to a funeral, and then we will begin to cry, just like the old people. But the other children do not want to join in that game. These children stand together screaming and crying, quarreling with each other, but they do not play. They pout and sulk, and they cannot decide on any game. The Lord Jesus likens the Jewish people to these quarreling children. John the Baptist has come. He fasted often and never drank wine. He preached seriously and showed them their sins. And did they hearken to him? Did they believe his words? Why, no. They called him names and said, "He hath a devil." Afterward, the Lord Jesus came. He ate bread and drank wine. And did they listen to the Lord Jesus? Did they believe him? No, they didn't. They called the Savior a gluttonous man and a winebibber. They said he is a friend of publicans and sinners. Nothing was good. The Jews did not listen to John nor to the Lord Jesus. The Jewish people were just the same as the children. Can you now see why the Lord Jesus used this figure? It was a reproof against their wickedness and their unbelief. The Lord Jesus still will warn them. Afterward, when nothing helped and it all has been in vain, God will punish these unbelieving Jews. Oh, Jesus says, Sodom was a wicked city. That is why it was destroyed. But if I had done as many miracles in Sodom as I have done for you, the wicked inhabitants of Sodom would have listened and would have repented. I am doing so many miracles in your midst. Still, you reject me. But later, when you die, you will be lost forever because of your own guilt. You have been warned. Yes, the Jewish people will be punished more severely than the heathen, for the Jews know the truth so well. A serious warning also lies in this for you, children. You have God's precious word. You are warned again and again. But if you reject all this and continue to live in sin, the punishment will be very, very severe also for you. Entreat the Lord daily to take the unbelief out of your hearts, to convert you. It is still possible. Tomorrow it may be too late. When death comes, the day of grace is past, and that forever.